Good morning, everybody. I would like to introduce myself. I am Sedat Sersi from Niğde University in Turkey. I am a full professor at Niğde University, and I am visiting back the United States. Many years ago, I got my PhD degree from Michigan State University. And after going back to Turkey, I have been working on small fruits in Turkey. And in Turkey, we just grow just a little bit raspberries and blackberries. But when we talk about small fruits, we usually mean strawberries, because this is the only crop where we have significant production. There is a global bloom on blueberries, but we are working on this. We are trying to improve our blueberry production, but we didn't reach the significant numbers yet. So this is the map of Turkey showing our location. It is about 40th latitudes, and this is the like closer map of Turkey. We can grow strawberries in all parts of Turkey, but the main production is concentrated on four main regions. I am going to show those regions. And this is our production from 1990 to recent years. And our strawberry production is increasing, and we are about 350,000 tons per year. We also export some of this, about like 10% of these strawberries. When we export strawberries, we are usually exporting to Russia. That is the main market for Turkish fruits and vegetables. And our production is conducted on open field as well as protected culture. When we talk about the protected culture, we usually mean high tunnels, because this is showing the protected cultures of Turkish strawberry production. As we see, more than three quarters of this is under high tunnels. It is pretty typical for strawberry production. And I would like to talk just a little bit about our production scheme, because it is important for fungal diseases. We usually use annual hill culture on raised bed covered with black plastic mulch. We either plant in summer with frigo plants, or fall with fresh plants. And fresh plants are still dominating in our culture. It is different from main producers in Europe like Spain and Italy. For example, in Spain, they are using Huelva region, one single region, for most of their productions, and they are almost exclusively utilizing the fresh plants. And in Italy, the production is a little bit different. There are productions in north and south regions, so they are utilizing different types of plant materials as well as different cultivars. But in our case, it is kind of old-fashioned. We are still utilizing frigo plants. And the important cultivars are similar to previous talk. The cultivars developed from University of Florida are very popular in Turkey. About 10 years ago, it was the California cultivars. They are still great cultivars. We are using them, but like Festival and Florida Fortuna and Ruby Gem particularly getting more and more planted by Turkish strawberry growers. And for our production, the most important problem is soil-borne fungal diseases. There are many reasons for this. And incidence and severities are always increasing lately. And when we grow strawberries, we don't fumigate our production areas. It used to be like before the methyl bromide, we used to use methyl bromide. It was a perfect solution for our problems. But after this, there are other chemicals like chloropetrin and tilon for the nematodes. But in Turkey, we cannot use them legally, because whatever works, they immediately ban it. So you cannot do this. If there is something efficient, you cannot use it. They let you use some chemicals, but they are not so efficient. I can give some examples: methane sodium, methane potassium. Some growers are using them, but they don't give you full protections against those fungal diseases. So what we do, we use just a little bit of those chemicals, but the most important solutions that we found is rotating. We don't use the same field. It is different from Spain, for example. In Spain, there is one region where they have been cultivating strawberries for 40 years. we cannot do this, but we rotate because we have larger areas. We do the rotations, but in last 20 years, we are also using this strawberry production scheme, so we are accumulating some fungal diseases in our fields as well. So we made a study. Our objective was to determine the major fungal diseases for in our strawberry production areas, because we know that those are soil-borne pathogens, but in particular what type of fungal diseases, we didn't know. And it is important for many reasons, for protection and maybe cultivar development, resistance, and this kind of information is of course important for us. So what we did is we just did some sampling from our major production areas, and we can see how many samples we took from each area, and there are five of them. Those are the main production areas. I am not putting the names because they don't make any sense to you. And we did the sampling at two times, one in fall, one in spring. When we do the sampling in fall, it was in September, and in spring it was in April. And we sample the production areas. This is how many samples that we got from this. And when we had the samples, of course, we did we record many things like the place and the grower, the name of the cultivars, planting date, planting material, the nursery source, and what was the previous crop, and if they had any chemical treatments applied in their production area, and many more actually. And this is a typical view, and we can see some dying or dead plants. We went there, and when we sample, of course, we didn't randomly pick, because they were some healthy looking plants and they were some dying plants. Of course, we took one of the dying or dead plants, as we saw in the other picture. And these were some of the samples that we took, and this is how they look. It was pretty obvious that they are in big problem. And more pictures. And then we took these samples. We culture fungals to determine what type of fungus they are. So we used two different media to do this, and I don't know about these media types. I don't know much about those fungi. So these were the two different media, because these are good media to culture those type of fungi, and one of you know, there are different groups. I don't understand all that well, but these were the medias that we cultured. And I am going to show some of the pictures of our cultures, and based on many things, they characterize what type of fungi these are. This is Phytophthora, for example. We had Fusarium, which was the most common fungi species that we have, Colectocorum for anthracnose, Macrophomina, and it is becoming very major fungal disease in not only in Turkey, but also in Spain and Italy. Rhizoctonia samples and others samples, and these are all pictures for different cultures. We also have Botrytis. So I just summarize what we found in our cultures in these slides. 89% of our samples, we were able to characterize them. That means some of the cultures, some of the disease plants, we were not successful culturing any fungi. Either they didn't have any diseases on them, or they had something different that we didn't get the culture. I am not sure. And also 71% of our samples had more than one fungi on it, because it was complex complex disease. And we identified more than 10 different ones. And we also studied them for viruses and phytoplasms. Of course, this is a different test. We just look at the DNAs, and we use PCR, universal primers, for viruses and phytoplasms, and we didn't recover any. And Fusarium was the most common fungi that we observed in our samples. And these are the percentages of the different species that we recovered in our studies. As we see, Fusarium is the most common one, followed by Rhizoctonia and others. I was expecting that we are going to get a lot of Phytophthora, but Phytophthora was not so big in percentages. Of course, this is an overall percentages that I had for all the samples that we had, one in fall and one in spring. At the same time, different regions, different cultivars. This is just a big summary of what we have. Actually, I also did many graphs and for different seasons, different cultivars, different regions. Of course, they mean something. For example, Rhizoctonia is very common in one particular area, but not in the others. But I removed my slides because I thought that I am not going to have enough time. Also, because you don't know the regions, they are not going to make a lot of sense to you. But the main message is the Fusarium was the most common pathogen that we identified. And further studies, in our team there are some plant pathologists. They would like to characterize the isolates that we collected from the studies. So they are going to do some molecular analysis on those pathogens. And the second thing is, I am pretty convinced that those are the pathogens causing some diseases on our samples, but they are a little bit more sophisticated. They have to say they are going to do pathogenicity test. Because those fungi are over there, it doesn't mean that those are causing the diseases. We have to repeat this, the same thing in the greenhouses. So not all of them, but some of the new ones, which were just reported for strawberries, we are going to do some pathogenicity tests under greenhouse conditions. And this is our team culturing and this media. And I think my time is up.
Time for some questions, yes.
That I am not exactly sure because again most of the time it is the complex more than one. Which one of them are killing those plants, I am not exactly sure because I'm not the pathogen pathologist. Actually, I did the sampling and they did the culturing. So
which rotation crops effective to control the cytoplasm?
Again, I am not sure, but usually in the areas that we are growing strawberries, the land is really expensive. So when we do the rotations, in the next year they use usually cucurbits like watermelon. They never put some barley or wheat in those fields because those fields are like great soil, great climate. So they rotate with cucurbits or Solanacea. This is the rotation scheme.
Okay.